Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we're going to look here and then also at the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, in just a minute. As we continue looking at the passages concerning how we are to relate to one another and how God wants to nurture us and build us up and encourage us in our growth and our spiritual walk with Him. And we're looking at all of, not all, we won't see, look at all of them as we go through this, but a number of them and how they all build on one another as far as our relationship with one another goes in the body of Christ and how God uses each of us as vehicles through which He helps us to grow up and helps to nurture us in our relationship with Him. Paul says in Ephesians 4:32, he says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." We've talked about forgiveness in the first week when we looked at this. But today we're going to look at this whole idea of being kind to one another and compassionate, tenderhearted. And then if you go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, where the writer there encourages us to do something else as we are in relationship with each other. In verse 16, he tells us to not neglect doing good and sharing with one another, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Remember, the book of Hebrews is all based upon telling about and setting Jesus forward as being better than all of the things under the old covenant. And one of the things that was big under the old covenant was the system of sacrifices. And how, as the writer went through that letter, he said, you know, Jesus is better than Aaron. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the temple. Jesus is better than Moses' tabernacle. And Jesus is better than the sacrifices. And how that the sacrifices that God wants now, as it was predominantly Jewish people who were reading this, Jewish believers especially, he's saying the sacrifices that God wants now are not animal sacrifices or anything else, but the kind of sacrifices that God is looking for now that He's pleased with are those that come from our heart and our deeds toward one another, and in particular, the deed of sharing with one another is a sacrifice that God is well pleased with. So, you can go back to Ephesians 4, and we'll start there. Remember, just to kind of refresh real quick, we talked about this whole thing of meeting Jesus and how God brings a person through the process of meeting Christ and entering into a relationship where they believe. And they enter into this fellowship, this relationship with Him by God's grace. But then, from there on, there's a process that God begins within that person to nurture them and to grow them up. And God uses a lot of different tools in order to do that, but as we talked about, one of the main tools through which He works is one another in the body of Jesus Christ, and us exercising and practicing all of these commands in the New Testament to do certain things to one another. We saw that the very root of this tree, and the tree itself, is the tree and the root of love. And everything flows from that. All of these other things like we're looking at today, kindness that we show to one another, and compassion and sharing, they are fruit that are being born off this tree of love. And as we bear these fruit and as we practice these things with one another, God uses all of these ways in which we're able to relate to one another to help us along in our relationship with Him and in our spiritual maturity. Not only from the standpoint of us practicing and being doers of these things, but also being receivers. And remember, the key part, one of the key things in this is that everything that we look at, whether it is be kind to one another or share with one another, everything in these one another scriptures are things that God has done and continues to do for us. That He does this to us and within us. He does these things towards us in relationship with us. We are good receivers. And as good receivers, then, we can then be good givers away of what we have received. We can't give what we have not received. And so as we receive this work of God, we then in turn are channels of blessing through which we give these things away that God has done for us. And as we've looked at, we saw in the first week about this, the whole idea of forgiving one another, accepting one another, and bearing with one another. And we're talking about relationship here. And that we're in relationships with people, not just in the church, but all around. We are in relationships. And in relationships, you're going to get hurt. In relationships, sometimes there's going to be pain. And we have to learn to practice the art of forgiveness and give that away as God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. And we practice the art of accepting people where they are, for who they are. Is what Brennan Manning used to say, you know, God loves us just as we are, not as we should be, because none of us is as we should be. And so we accept people where they are. We give them the liberty and the freedom and the process of where they're at in their own growth to be where they are. Doesn't always mean we condone what they practice or what they do, but we accept them as a human being. And we receive them. And then, of course, bearing with one another, how we're learning to be patient with one another in this process and graciously patient, not, you know, on the inside wanting to take people out, even though on the outside we act like we're enduring. But that provides, that attitude provides a safe place for people to fall. It provides a safe place for people to fail. If they make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are catastrophic mistakes in their lives personally, they have a place, a soft mattress called the body of Christ in relationship that they can fall. And then we saw how that, and then we move from there that when we are able to provide a safe place for people to fall, then we have practice the idea and the art of putting other people before ourselves and how that we honor others and we put their needs and we serve them and we are other-centered. We are not self-centered, but other-focused. And how that God, in this life, as we walk through it, He doesn't intend for us to try to love the whole world. Even though we can have that attitude, all God asks us to do is to love the people that He brings across our path. And every day, God brings people across our path and gives us an opportunity to love them. In some way. Some small way, sometimes. Some big way, sometimes. And so that's what He asks us to do. And so we have the opportunity to put their needs before our own. Then we talked about the whole idea of greeting others and how we introduce ourselves to other people. Are we legitimately concerned about them when we ask them how they are? When we welcome them and we open ourselves up to them in relationship and we show ourselves to them. And so when we introduce ourselves to people, as we talked about greeting one another in the body of Christ and welcoming one another and receiving one another, these are part of introducing ourselves into other people's lives and engaging them in a relationship. It's a starting point. Just as Jesus welcomed us and received us, and there was an initiating point, we have that opportunity to do that. Once that happens, then we're able to take a relationship a little deeper. And in taking that relationship a little deeper, we have the opportunity to do two of these things today. And that is to demonstrate kindness to somebody or have the opportunity to share with them in some particular way. And so kindness, it's interesting, as Paul talks about kindness, when you read about kindness in the New Testament, generally you'll find that a lot of the kindness passages generally follow passages where something wrong has been done to you, where you have to respond to a wrong or a slight that's been done against you, not with the same in the same kind, but reacting with an opposite reaction, which is kindness. In verse 31 of Ephesians 4, you notice what Paul says. He says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another." He's saying there's a possibility that in your relationships you're going to experience people are going to be angry with you. They're going to be hot, not just angry, but really angry, wrathfully angry at you. There's going to be clamor. There might be slander. They may say things about you and treat you in ways that are malicious and do things that are unkind. They may be reacting from a bitter spirit. But when that happens, you don't respond with that same reaction. You respond in a different manner. You respond with kindness back to them. Be kind to one another. We are to demonstrate in these kind of settings the kindness of God back to a person in our words and in our deeds to them. Because again, God's done the same thing with us. He's treated us that way. A lot of times we've done things against Him. right? But he didn't respond in like manner to us. He responded to us with kindness. We read earlier out of the passage in Romans that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, his enemies, Christ died for us. That he demonstrated when we were at his throat, wanting him dead, when we were screaming, crucify him, he was in turn showing kindness to us and demonstrating that to us. And so Paul says we're to do that and we're to show his kindness to others. Now what's interesting is this. When we practice kindness with other people, it has a redemptive effect in their life. Why do we know that? Because God's kindness towards us has the same kind of impact. Why do we know that? Because the scripture tells us that. If you go from Ephesians over to the left of the book of Romans chapter 2, and notice as Paul talks about the kindness of God. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, God's kindness always leads us to a place of redemptiveness, of reconciliation. It says in verse 4, of Romans 2, or do you think lightly of the riches of his what? His goodness. The word for goodness is the same word that's used for kindness in different translations. It's just translated some kindness, goodness, and some translations kindness. And tolerance and patience. There's those forbearing terms. Not knowing that the kindness of God does what? It leads you to repentance. It's not the wrath of God that makes you run to repentance. It's not the scary God that's threatening you with lightning bolts from heaven and ready to just take you down with a baseball bat every time you do something wrong. He said it is the kindness of God towards you that brings you to a place of transformation. So when God exercises kindness to me and God exercises kindness to you, it changes us. It impacts us internally. We may for a time try to resist it, but it is so good at some point it achieves its desired end, which is transformation. The same is true in human relationships. You demonstrate kindness to someone else, the kindness of God that has been demonstrated to you, and it has a redemptive, reconciling effect on them, especially when they've done you wrong and you respond with kindness. Now, they may be resistant to it. They may not be able to receive it just yet. But you keep spilling that kindness out toward them, and it will change that person. It will have a transforming effect in that relationship. So as Paul tells us that we are to be kind to one another, we have a lot of opportunity to do that. There's two specific ways that we can show kindness to other people. Obviously, one is through our words. And the other is through our deeds, our words and our deeds. And we can demonstrate that to others very simply. It doesn't take a lot of work to be nice. It doesn't take a lot of planning to be kind. It's simply a response to another individual who's in need of that kindness that God brings across our path at a given moment during the day. We can show kindness in our words. I love what Mother Teresa said. She said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. Their echoes are truly endless. Sometimes words that we speak to other people, and the scripture talks about the power of the life and death is in the tongue. James talks about with our tongues, we either bless God or curse others. Words can build up. Words can destroy people. How many times in people's lives have you seen people, the way they view themselves when they look in at their self in the mirror is directly related to things that they were told by others about themselves when they were growing up, especially negative things. How many times that you've sat maybe in, and I know just from personal counseling experience with women who as little girls were always told, you're ugly, you're fat. They might be skinny as a rail, but that's how they perceive themselves when they look at it, by somebody's words that they said to them. Somebody that was significant and important to them. It might have been a mother or a father. It might have been somebody they highly respected and looked up to. I'll never forget when we were in Honduras, we attended a friend of ours church one Sunday, and it was kind of a different church. And there, down there, the pastors are held in such high regard, and this guy, he was sort of out there, but he was using the people, honestly, milking them for money and material things and all kinds of stuff. And I remember him calling some people forward, and they had needs in their life, and he was going to pray for them, you know, and do the whole Benny Hinn thing over them and all this. And one lady went up there, and she was crying because she said, I've been praying and I've been asking God for a certain need in her life, and he started berating her in front of that whole congregation of maybe 400 or 500 people, how terrible she was, how awful she was, how God was so disappointed in her because of her lack of faith. And I sat on the back row. First of all, my initial reaction was I wanted to go up and punch that guy's lights out. Because I thought, you are a sick man. You're sick. How dare you tell this woman who's dressed in just about rags that she is a nobody. Here you are in your fancy hot suit, and you're destroying this woman with your words in front of all these people. And my heart just broke. But then I thought about, you know, how often the things that we say to people in a moment, we don't know how long that one statement will remain with them and how devastating an impact it can have on the rest of their life. The path that some children will take is directly related many times to something, not just a bunch of things, but one thing sometimes that somebody said, either good or bad. You can listen to a lot of athletes when you watch some of their stories, and you can hear them talk about their coaches when they were growing up and how one time, one event, in a moment, in a game or something, when a coach looked at them in the eye and said, I believe in you. I believe in you. I know you have the ability to do this. And how that set them on a path to believing they could accomplish anything, not just in athletics, but throughout the rest of their life. Somebody demonstrated a verbal kind of kindness that, as Mother Teresa says, echoes throughout the rest of their life, as well as something negative can do the same. And we have the opportunity to encourage and demonstrate kindness to people with our words. A lot of times we don't measure what we say before we say it. Sometimes things just fly out of our mouth before we even stop and think. And a lot of times, you ever had that happen where something's going right out of your mouth and you wish I could grab that and pull it back? But you can't. Because it's left. It's gone now. It's been said. Now, those are the times when, as Paul had, we've already talked about, when we step in there and we say, forgive me. And then that other person has the opportunity to practice what they've received, forgiveness, to you. We make things right. But sometimes we don't think and measure what we say when we're in relationship with people. And it doesn't take long, sometimes milliseconds, to think about something. And the way that we demonstrate kindness is through, as the scripture talks about, is blessing one another. Another way we could say that is encouraging one another with our words. Building people up. Looking for something positive. I mean, think about all of the different things on a given day, an opportunity that you have, an opportunity to compliment somebody on something. Just compliment them. Whether it's through, you know, a waitress that served you at a meal. Now, it's easy. We can always sit there and find about all the things they didn't do right. They didn't bring tea quick enough. They didn't do that. But a lot of times we don't know what they're going through. But sometimes just a simple thank you and say, you know, you really did a really good job. Or even if they've done something, you know, and they've done a decent job, calling the manager over and compliment and asking her to be there, complimenting her to the manager, building her up. Now, you think that's silly. Folks, that is the way Jesus treated people. He built them up. He didn't tear them down. He didn't destroy people with his words. He built them up, especially people who were in need of encouragement. How many times do you have in a given day husbands to compliment your wife, or wife to compliment your husband, to compliment your children, to bless them with a positive word, just something positive, to show kindness to them, encouragement, affirmations, things positive that you see in them? We can find negative things in each other. That's easy. Our flaws, they stick out like, you know, thorns on a bush. But sometimes we're too busy looking for the thorns that we miss the rose that's blooming right in front of us. It might be small, but we miss it. We miss the opportunity to say, you know what, son? You are a smart boy. Son, you're a great kid. Son, you are a handsome young man. Young, my little girl, you are so beautiful to daddy. I just want you to know how beautiful you are to me. Those kinds of things impact people's lives. They do. And that's an opportunity verbally that we can show kindness by giving them affirmation, something that we see in them, compliments and encouragements and words of blessing, positive things. Sometimes they're verbal. Sometimes we can write these things to people if it is in a note or an email or, you know, a messenger thing just over the phone now. I mean, we have opportunity. We have the opportunity now because of technology to bless people on the other side of the world and let them know how appreciative we are of them and how thankful we are for what they've done face to face. Kindness can be expressed in words. Kindness can also be expressed in deeds and things that we do. And sometimes our kind deeds, at some point, as we relate to people, may ultimately end up in them coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was reading this week about a young couple in California. In the neighborhood where they lived at, there was an older couple that moved in across the street from them. And this older couple had moved from another area. I think it was in the Los Angeles area. They had moved from there because there was a mega church, basically, that had grown in their neighborhood, and it was basically kind of taken over that area. And the church was trying to buy their property so they could, you know, build more buildings. And how that they didn't want to sell. They were happy in that home. They'd been there for a long time, and they didn't want to sell it and so forth. And as is typical with most churches, they tried to chinch them and give them, you know, the low ball deal. They didn't want to spend any more money than they had to. You know, we're trying to save God's money. But they said that what happened was that the church was so intent on getting this property that they organized prayer marches around their property. That these people would march around this old couple's property claiming it for God. And they were going to take it for Jesus, and that those people were going to yield up that property because it was taken in God's name. Now, eventually, it got so bad that they eventually did sell their home and they moved into this neighborhood. Well, the young couple across the street, the guy happened to be a pastor. And they walked over and introduced themselves to one another. And in the midst of the conversation, they said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I'm a pastor. And the guy immediately said, look, if we're ever going to talk, don't you ever bring up anything religious to me. I don't have any interest in religion. I have no interest in God. I have no interest in religion. None of it, because he'd been so turned off by how he'd been treated over there by that church. Guy's pastor said, you know what? I will never bring it up until you ever ask me. If you ask me, I'll talk. But if you don't ever ask me, I'll never bring it up. Fine. So for 5 years, he said they would see one another and exchange greetings, and they'd, you know, have general kind of conversation and talk and so forth. And he said after about 5 years, he said he started noticing that the newspaper in their front lawn wasn't getting picked up every day. And it would be out there all day long. So one day he said he got, you know, kind of concerned about it. So he walked over there, picked it up, went to the door, knocked on the door and said, hey, I saw your paper's been out here all day and I wanted to, you know, just hand it to you. And he said, is everything okay? Well, what had happened was this: both these older folks had gotten into a point in a state of health where they were not able to get around as good as they could and just go out and do certain things. So they were having to wait for their son to come in the evening and get their mail and the newspaper and all that. And the pastor said, hey, he said, don't you worry about that. He said, I'll just get it for you every morning and I'll bring it up here to you. And anyway, he said he stood there and talked with the wife at the door and about their needs and all those kind of things that were going on. Well, for the next 7 years. He and his wife did things for them. They just mowed their grass, brought their mail to them, got the newspaper for them. And over that 7 years, as they would end up standing on the stoop there at the front door, conversations began to happen. Things began to take place. And ultimately, literally after a 12-year span of time, this older couple wanted to know about this Jesus that these people knew. 12 years. What did they do? Did they hammer them over the head with the Bible? No. All they did was demonstrate simple kindness. Why did that have such an impact? Because God's kindness always has a redemptive effect on people. It always does. It may take time, but it eventually works its way into people's hearts. It always does. You'll be surprised when you do kind things for people, how surprised they are that somebody's done something kind for them. Because it's such an unusual thing in our day. It's just crazy. Now, I remember we were talking, Denise and I were talking about this morning. I think it was when we were living in Florida and we were having a pool put in at the house. And she'd go out every day, you know, those guys were out working in the sun. She'd take them water and she'd take them snacks and all. And they just could not get over the fact just one that she was doing that. She said, we never have people to do this for us. We never have people bring water out for us or, you know, snacks or anything like that. She made them cupcakes, a thing, you know, all the, and again, why did she do that? It wasn't because, oh, we're going to, you know, these are people that we can try to get to our church. Or these people, we, you know, it was the fact of just, let's just be kind to these people. They're rendering a service to us, but we want to render a kindness to them. And they wouldn't forget that. Every single day you have people come across your path, and so do I, that we can do something kind for. Sometimes it's just as simple. And I love how the Lord applies these things. Just like this morning, I was at Starbucks and there was an elderly lady walking across the parking lot. And I was, you know, a minute ahead of her at the door. But I could tell she was coming slow and her head was bobbing like that. And I thought, you going to practice what you going to preach this morning? So I held the door open and I stood there and waited for her to come in. And she said, she looked at me, I almost started crying. She looked at me like how appreciative she was that I didn't just jump in front of that. She was going to have to try to open that door for herself. Simple things. We have simple things. We can open doors for people. We can do practical things for them. We have that opportunity given to us on a silver platter multiple times in a day with people just to be kind. Just to be kind. Paul said, practice the kindness of God. Think of all the opportunities that God gives you in a given day to do that. And then there in Hebrews, where the writer tells us to share with one another. See, kindness and generosity come from a heart that is tied in there in Ephesians 4:32 that is compassionate. It's a tender-hearted. A compassionate heart, just like our Father's heart, wants to show kindness to people and also wants to share with people and to be generous with people. Sharing with other people is an expression of love, because sharing is giving, and giving is the very heart and nature of love. God is love, and because God is love, for God so loved that he gave. Lovers give. Love gives. Love shares. Love cannot keep what it has to itself. It has to generously give it away. As we talked about Wednesday night, the whole idea of God creating all that he made. He didn't create creation because he needed love. God does not need love. God had all the love he ever needed within himself. But what God wanted to do was give his love away that he had. He wanted something, someone, people in a creation to experience this love. He gave it away because love gives, love shares. And what we do when we share is we share to meet the needs of other people and to practice an unselfish way of living. That we're not thinking about ourselves. You see, selfishness is the opposite of sharing and giving. Selfishness is not others-centered, it's me-centered. The whole world revolves around me. And the best way for you or I to break the cycle of selfishness in our lives is to give. It is to share with other people the things that God has blessed us with. And you see, in order for you and I to be generous people, we have to have a proper view of the things that we have. We have to see things as they really and truly are. Because in reality, you and I don't own a stinking thing. We don't. All that we have, it's lent to us. It's graciously given to us. We don't possess anything. God blesses us with things materially, spiritually, all those things. They're gifts to us. But they are given to us by God in order for us, yes, to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the gifts and the things that He gives to us, but also to be able to bless other people with those things. And to be able to share those things with us. If you and I are living in the reality of what Jesus talked about in the Gospel of Matthew, where we look to God to meet our needs every day, if we seek Him and His kingdom first, all these things will be added to us. If we live a lifestyle where we're truly depending upon God to meet our needs and to take care of us, then we then have an attitude that we're free to generously share with other people. If we're truly living a dependent lifestyle upon Him. But it's not just financially, because a lot of times we think about sharing and giving. That's what we always think about. It's money. But it's not always that. Sometimes it is our time that we give to invest in somebody else. Sometimes it's the abilities that God gives us that we invest in other people's lives. Sometimes it is material things, our homes, as we talked about, showing hospitality. Sometimes it's giving of ourselves in different ways than just financially that we share. And we need to see that everything that God has given to us has been given to us as a tool by which we can bless other people. And we share with them. Sharing is being generous. And we know that God delights in generosity. Why do we know that? Because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that when he's talking about giving and sharing, he said, God delights in and loves a hilarious giver. Hilarious giver. Not just cheerful. When we see that word cheerful, the Greek word is hilarious, with hilarity, yee-hoo, that kind of giving. Why does God delight in that? Because that's the way He is. Creation is a big party for Him. Creation is a big celebration with Him. That He gets to delight in sharing all the good stuff that He is and that He's got with everybody. And He just delights in it. It thrills Him to death to be able to share all that He is and all that He has with all of His creation. It tickles Him to death. We're talking about a God that Paul refers to in 1 Timothy chapter 1 as a happy God. The blessed God, the happy God. Why is He so stinking happy? Because He's so good. He's so generous. And He doesn't withhold anything from us. We know that He doesn't withhold anything from us because He gave us the very best that He had when He gave us Himself for us. He delights in generosity. So when you and I receive generosity from Him and He shares with us out of His goodness, what do we in turn do? We share with other people the things that God has blessed us with. God is not selfish. He is other-centered. He's focused on others. And what is the best and highest good that He can do for them at any given moment in time? To bless them. To bless them. You see, sharing is a physical demonstration of kindness. Physical expression of kindness. They flow together because they're tied to a compassionate heart that's motivated by love. You just have to do it. You just have to do it. Again, how much does it cost you to share a kind word? What does it cost you? Nothing. Except maybe 1 or 2 seconds of your time. Wow. But you don't know the impact. You don't know the impact of that word on that person for the rest of their life. You don't know. Share with one another. Be kind to one another. Ultimately, everything that we're doing is we're sharing the kindness of God with other people because He has shared His kindness with you and I. And see, we can only give what we've received from Him, and we've received both of those from Him. And what's interesting is Jesus directly Himself tells us that our love for Him is measured by our kindness and our generosity to other people. How do we know this? Well, let's look real quick at Matthew 25 and we'll close with this. Matthew 25, 31. He says this, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on the left. The King will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited Me in. Naked, you clothed Me. I was sick, you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me.' The righteous will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty or give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked or clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and come to you?' And the King will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of Mine, even the least of them, you did it to Me.'" You see all of those things? Every single one of those things that He says are acts of kindness and sharing. And He said, the world will see by the things that you say and do your love for Me. It'll be obvious of your relationship to Me. When Jesus said to the least of these, My brothers, what was He talking about? He wasn't talking about just the Jews, people in the church. He was talking about humanity. Because He became one of us. To the least, He said. The most insignificant you think of, you're doing it to Me. Doing it to Me. Think about this. I want you to think right now in your own life and in your own mind. When somebody's kindness or generosity touched you deeply, and maybe give thanks to God for it. Maybe take the time, as we shared a few weeks ago, to take the time to say thank you to them for it. Here's what I want you to do right now. I want you, if you would, just close your eyes. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I just want to kind of concentrate for just a second. And just in an attitude of prayer. And I want you to ask God one simple question. And you say, how do I know if God talks to me? Well, God speaks a lot of times through just thoughts that He injects into our minds. But I want you to ask Him this question. And it may be that you're already thinking, somebody's already on your mind. That God say, Lord, who is there somebody that you want me this week specifically to show kindness or generosity to? Who is it? And just ask Him. and maybe even in a way that doesn't even involve money or anything like that if you're asked to share. All right. Now, don't forget, whenever you do it to anybody, you're doing it to who? To Him. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to give kindness and grace and generosity to other people. I pray that you would help all of us to be good doers of the word this week, and those that you placed upon our hearts and minds, that we would be obedient to do that with them, and then specifically how you want us to do it, what you would have us to do for them. In Jesus' name, amen.